Nobody informed me that he was in Moscow.
The voice of a translator. And Uber faces a federal investigation over alleged gender discrimination, according to the Wall Street Journal. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a very humid day on the way. Sunshine limited today, and it looks like scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms developing, locally heavy rainfall amounts, high temperature around 90, the heat index near or above 100. The storms will fade out in the overnight hours tonight. Low temperature falls to the mid-70s. Tomorrow, look for widespread showers and storms, especially by the afternoon and evening. High in the lower 90s on election day. Wednesday's high also right around 92, with still a generous supply of showers and storms here and there. But I think by Thursday and Friday, the storms start to thin out in number. Not as many storms around. High temperatures edge back to the middle 90s. Our weather app has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts wherever you go. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. State troopers in Alabama will be taking part in a week-long crackdown on speeding starting today. Operation Southern Shield comes after a study found Alabama has a speed-related death rate significantly higher than the other southeastern states. The crackdown continues through next Sunday. The body of an Alabama man who had been reported missing has been found. Police in the city of Opp identify the victim as 36-year-old Lewis Swinger. Four men have been charged with his murder. And a team from Alabama is in England for an international air show that starts today. The governor and economic development specialists are at the 2018 Farnborough International Air Show near London to pitch Alabama as a location for aviation-related industries. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
When it comes to safety, nothing is more important than your vehicle's brakes. If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest and BrakeBest Select at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brakes from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back to Ask the Doc from the Rug Doctor Institute of Clean. Next caller.
Hi, Doc. Amy here.
What's on your mind, Amy?
You mean, what's in my carpet? We just moved into a new house and it smells like the other family never moved out.
Good news, Amy. Rug Doctor Power goes deep to pull out everything. When you rent a Rug Doctor, you get power and suction that compares to hiring professionals at a fraction of the cost.
Thanks, Doc.
Rent a Rug Doctor today at your local supermarket and deep clean your home starting at $29.99 a day.
I'm Judge Michelle Thomas and I'm running for the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. Did you know that 75 to 80% of civil appeals are family court cases permanently affecting the lives of children and families of Alabama? And I've ruled on over 13,000 of these cases. My opponent, she has never ruled on even one. July 17th, vote for the judge with a heart for families and children. Vote Michelle Manley Thomason, second on the ballot, but first in experience.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Judge Michelle Manley Thomas in P.O. Box 221, Fairhope, Alabama 36533.
Will Dismuke's candidate for House District 88 has become mighty popular in Montgomery. The last 3 weeks, big money special interest groups are showering him with campaign cash. Dismuke's has received more than $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Let me repeat that. $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Autauga and Elmore County voters are very concerned. Who will Dismuke's represent? The hardworking, tax-paying citizens of District 88 or Montgomery's big money Money Special Interest. These special interest groups' top priority is an immediate 6 cent per gallon gas tax increase, with an additional 18 cent per gallon gas tax increase over the next 4 years. It's time for Will Dismukes to answer the question. What did he promise the Montgomery swamp dwellers in return for all that campaign cash? On July 17th, the voters will have a clear choice to vote against another political game player beholden to Montgomery Special Interest Groups, who are committed to raising our taxes.
Paid for by Al Booth for Alabama House, 512 Wetumpka Street, Prattville, Alabama.
Bobby Bright once said he had no regrets about voting for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. Guess that's why he voted with Pelosi's liberal agenda more than 70% of the time and accepted $25,000 in campaign contributions from her, and why he defended Obamacare.
Alabama's true conservative choice, Martha Roby. Roby's been a fierce advocate for Alabama values in Washington. That's why Roby supported the Trump tax cuts and stood up for Alabama farmers by voting for the Farm Bill. Martha Roby is working hand in hand with President Trump to move Alabama forward.
Our choice for Congress is clear. Fall with Pelosi and Bright, or stand tall with Roby and President Trump. Tuesday, July 17th. Vote Martha Roby for Congress.
The U.S. Chamber is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.uschamber.com.
President Donald Trump.
I'm looking for judges, people that will respect the Constitution.
Judges like Alabama's conservative Judge Sarah Stewart.
I'm Judge Sarah Stewart. I think it matters who serves on the Supreme Court.
Like President Trump, conservative Judge Sarah Stewart will uphold the Constitution. That's why she's running for the Alabama Supreme Court. More than 25 years of legal experience and over a decade on the bench, conservative Judge Sarah Stewart will protect our Second Amendment gun rights, defend the life of the unborn, and guard our nation against evildoers who threaten our way of life. Honest, fair, experienced. Conservative Judge Sarah Stewart is uniquely qualified to sit on Alabama's Supreme Court. Judge Sarah Stewart will ensure swift, firm, and fair justice. On July 17th, vote Conservative Judge Sarah Stewart to the Alabama Supreme Court. Paid for by Judge Sarah Stewart, Alabama Supreme Court, 2029B Airport Boulevard, number 206, Mobile, Alabama, 36606.
July, vacations and hot weather. Alabama and Brubaker. We have loads of cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans here at Brubaker Motors. Chrysler, Dodge, Ram truck, Jeep, Fiat, Kia, and Infiniti. All in one place and in Prattville. This month it is huge. The all-new, I mean really new, Infiniti QX50 compact SUV or the redesigned Infiniti QX80 full-size SUV will carry everything to the lake or the beach or the park comfortably. Kia, save huge on the 2018 Soul crossover before the 2000 model arrives this month. Or the third row seat midsize Sorento SUV made just down the road. Ask about the friends and family plan to see if you qualify for additional savings. Have you seen? Have you driven? The all-new redesigned Jeep Wrangler, smoother, still rugged, the off-road SUV you want. Or the Grand Cherokee or Cherokee, its slightly smaller sibling. And don't forget Fiat, the even smaller sibling. All at Brubaker Motors this week.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
France defeating Croatia 4-2 in the World Cup final for their second title.
President Trump says he sees talks with Russia's President Putin in Finland as a loose meeting, keeping his expectations low.
Hotel Transylvania 3 summer vacation grossing an estimated $44 million in its debut.
Novak Djokovic has won Wimbledon's men's singles title.
Very high temperatures are expected this week in parts of the South.
Some 500 firefighters are battling the Ferguson fire in California's Sierra National Forest.
The World Series of Poker has a winner, 33-year-old John Sin of Indianapolis.
Iraq is placing its security forces on high alert following days of anti-government protests.
An Oregon woman missing for a week has been found alive at the bottom of a cliff near Big Sur.
Manny Pacquiao gets victory number 60 of his career, knocking out an Argentinian boxer in the seventh round.
Chicago police saying video footage shows a man killed by police was armed with what appears to be a handgun.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
80 degrees outside, Sam Morgan is up 16 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How are we doing, big guy?
I'm fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Have a good weekend. And you?
Oh, very good weekend, yeah.
I like that. Did you get some stuff packed up?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of things boxed up, all the clutter put away, and it made the move seem that much easier this upcoming weekend.
I like that. I like that a lot. I went up to Birmingham, had some great food up there. Bottega's is an outstanding place. Traffic is awful where they're doing the construction. What should have been an hour and 10 minutes was 2 hours. And then I got into that rainstorm. I don't know if you had it here, but...
No, we saw it.
It came down. It was unbelievable.
Did you see crazy lightning? That's what we're getting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Incredible lightning. And it would hit, like, you know, about 300 yards from my car. So that was not too good. But food was great. Company was great. Had a really good time. And then we had the deluge yesterday here on Sunday of the rain. Came down. Rained so much it filled my swimming pool up to the brim, overflowing. Let's do this. Let's bring in our in-studio guest, the one and only, the Dr. Mark Comasino, Russia expert and Facebook pal with Vladimir Putin.
Thanks very much for that, Dan. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back here. We've missed you, but boy, you're in the kind of epicenter with your expertise of Russia with a lot going on. Let's kind of start out with kind of giving some background, because I think people have a kind of a misconcept of Russia and the economy and things like that. How would you rate the Russia economy right now?
Well, first, as you know, I have to start with the usual disclaimer.
The disclaimer. Yes,
that's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
These are my views only, not those of the DOD, the Air Force, or Vladimir Putin himself. So with that said, the Russian economy is kind of a mixed bag right now. They've adjusted somewhat to the sanctions, but is at best stagnant. Growth probably well under 2% of GDP. Their overall economy in terms of GDP is less than a tenth that of the United States, and it remains heavily dependent on the export of oil and other petroleum products. So nothing in that regard has changed over the last few years. I think two-thirds of their exports, in fact, and a little known, less cared about fact, we actually run a trade deficit with them. Though it's because the volume is so small, we're talking so far this year, maybe $7 billion in imports from Russia to around $2 to $3 billion in exports. And a good amount of the imports we get from Russia is gasoline and other petroleum products. So their economy...
So they refine it there and ship it to us?
I think it's a combination of all those. I think Canada is only our larger... is the only supplier that provides us with more gasoline. Our imports of Russian oil are down, obviously, because of both sanctions and because of our own domestic production. But that is the mainstay of the Russian economy, which makes them extremely vulnerable to fluctuations in the market. It's something they're acutely aware of in the Kremlin, but really don't know how to change in a top-down driven economy. So all those things being said, right now they're in something of a steady state that they can sustain, but the path to growth for the Russian economy is a pretty steep one.
And if we added more sanctions on them, that would be very painful to them.
It would, for a variety of things, if nothing else, in addition to the direct effects. As you can imagine, those investors, foreign investors, who may be able to put money into the Russian economy in areas that are not currently under sanction are hesitant to do so for fear then that those sectors could fall in a sanctions regime.
One area that you always hear about is Ukraine and Crimea.
Right.
Tell us how Crimea came about.
Well, in an existential sense, I think if we go back to the movement of the tectonic plates around the Earth, I bring it a little bit forward in history. Crimea, during the imperial period, was taken from the Ottoman Empire under Catherine the Great. Then the largest population there was a Turkic people that are still there in smaller numbers today, about 10 to 12% of the population, the Crimean Tatars that Stalin deported and then were able to come back under Khrushchev. In the modern period, Crimea belonged, if you will, to the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic until the 1950s when Nikita Khrushchev gifted it to Ukraine.
Because his wife was from Ukraine and it was her birthday.
I can't testify to that.
That's where we're at.
I wasn't at the party, but...
would you like to blow the candles out and have part of a country?
The cover line was it was in recognition of their role, the Ukrainian people's role in the great so-called Great Patriotic War. Khrushchev himself traces his roots to Ukraine.
So that was part of the Soviet Union, hence why we have people that are speaking and love the mother country, Russia, because they were Russian.
Well, they were, of course, as I mentioned, under Stalin, and Stalin had a penchant for this of ethnic cleansing, we'd call it today, so right. The deportation of the Crimean Tatars, and in a number of other areas like the Baltic states or even other portions of Ukraine, Russians came in as part of the centralized economy, heavily militarized, even before the collapse of the Soviet Union, and then in many respects those people stayed. So within the last few years, I think when the Russians annexed Crimea, according to most recent Ukrainian census data, about 58-59% of the population identified themselves as Russians, another quarter as Ukrainian, and then the remainder were the Crimean Tatars and then some other smaller groups.
And that is a very functional submarine port that is there.
It is. The Russian
Black Sea. It's only warm water.
Yes, and the Russian Black Sea Fleet has been headquartered there throughout the period. They had a lease on the port facilities in Sevastopol, and of course now they don't need to lease them because they have possession of the entire peninsula.
What did Obama do when they basically went in and took part of the Crimea and did that?
Well, frankly, there wasn't much that he or we could do unless we were willing to go to war to stop the Russians doing what they were doing. The Russian military already had about 25,000 military personnel in Crimea because of the presence of the base. The then new Ukrainian government was still in some disarray. So as the Russian forces fanned out across the peninsula, aided by local sympathizers and then agents of the Russian security services, we now know that the new Ukrainian government in Kyiv, the one that replaced Yanukovych, ordered their military forces not to resist because to do so would give Russia, if it was looking for one, an excuse to invade the mainland portion of Ukraine. And they were seriously outgunned. So the Russians isolated the Ukrainian garrisons in garrison. Sadly for Ukraine, many of their military personnel defected to the Russians, went over to Russia for a variety of reasons. And so I lay all that out. It was happening very quickly. Ukraine obviously is not a NATO member. And Russia essentially presented the world and the West with a fait accompli. And so short of using military force to undo what the Russians just did, the Obama administration, the European Union, our allies, essentially did what they could, and that is impose what has become a growing number of sanctions and breaking off a variety of diplomatic exchanges with Russia, removing them from the G8, which in my opinion, I don't know why they were in the G8 to begin with, but they were. So I think we did, we collectively in the West, if we were going to do anything, did pretty much all that we could do short of going to blows over it.
News 93.1 FM, Mark Confessino in the house, Russia expert, going to be back right after this.
Show. Turn on. Tune in. News Talk. Talk 93.1 FM. Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Montgomery? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Montgomery area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Montgomery is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip Thames, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
There are big changes coming to Mr. Electric of Montgomery. We have a brand new logo and a brand new look. What isn't changing is our dedication to you, our loyal customers. Mr. Electric still has the same experienced service professionals who respect your time, your budget, and your home. They still offer upfront pricing, exceptional service, and appointments on your schedule. Plus, affordable financing options are also available. At Mr. Electric of Montgomery, we want everyone to be safe and to have the peace of mind knowing their home is free of electrical dangers. Call us today and ask about our free home safety inspection. Trust your family's safety to the experts at Mr. Electric of Montgomery, where we're doing great. We're Mr. Electric.
Paid for by Bobby Bright for Congress.
Okay, we all remember when Martha Roby said this in 2016.
Mr. Trump, I would like for you to step aside.
Apparently, Martha Roby is still a never-Trumper. This is what she said just this morning on Fox News about that comment.
2 years later, Roby is having to explain the comments she made against him.
No regrets.
Really, Martha? No regrets? Is that how you treat your friends after all President Trump's done for you?
I'm Bobby Bright. I voted for Donald Trump to shake up the establishment, and he is doing just that. But he needs our help. Washington is broken. Lobbyists running the show. Wasteful spending and Republican insiders turning their backs on our president.
There was a wise farmer from right here in District 2 that once said, the second kick from a mule has no educational value. After 8 years, the voters of District 2 have now been educated, and they've got some kicking to do of their own.
I'm Bobby Bright. I approve this ad. We've got a swamp to drain.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I can't walk out. 272-9228, if you have a question, comment, viewpoint. Dr. Mark Conversino in the house. Russia expert. Facebook friends with
why
Vladimir.
What you doing to me?
So tell the audience real quickly, you were your last time in Russia, and what happened there?
Well, we were there in 2014 as part of an exchange between, in this case, the Air War College, and I still teach in that program, and a variety of entities in Russia that's part of a broader program out there at the college, and they began the invasion of Ukraine. The Secretary of Defense canceled the military-to-military ties, and we were directed out of the country. So as we sought to leave Russia and get into our NATO ally, Estonia, the Russians gave me a chance to be a footnote in history by seizing my passport at the Russian-Estonian border and taking me into custody for what was a very lovely and friendly chat with a representative of the FSB's immigration service.
How long did they detain you?
It seemed a lot longer at the time. I don't want to make too much of it. Overall, we eventually got out of there in a couple hours, but certainly the first part of that, I thought, well, it's been a good run. I've seen enough documentaries on Russian prisons to know I don't want to be in one, but I didn't think I was important enough that anybody's going to come get me either. But we made it out, have not been back since, obviously, because of the sanctions in place and the hesitance to deal with the Russians at that level. So, as I've mentioned previously, I've been since then in Ukraine and Finland and the Baltic states as recently as this past March and stayed safely on this side of the Russian.
He sent me a picture of looking over the river at Russia where he was detained. Let's talk about Putin and his personality, since you two are Facebook friends. Tell me about, everybody keeps harping in on his KGB background. And I have a picture of where he's standing there when Gorbachev and Reagan are talking, and there's a tourist with a camera, and there's Vladimir Putin that's in there. Which somebody showed me years later that was him. Tell me about the KGB background and how much influence. Is that his complete life?
Very much so. Certainly from the time he was a young adult, raised in a rough-and-tumble part of what was then Leningrad. And, you know, we have this image of the Soviet Union that he actually fits well into. He was known as something of a bit of a hooligan in school. Eventually landed himself in the then KGB. That molds, you know, that molds one's worldview. It's a very, very nationalistic, but also a very paranoid worldview. Not to make too broad of a statement here, but the Russian political culture has always been highly suspicious of the other, of the outside world, this notion of Russia, where the Soviet Union is a besieged fortress, which is often used by all their governments over time to justify internal repressions or the sacrifices of the people, just as they are now under the sanctions regime, that this is all part of defending themselves against the outside world. But because of that, it's a very manipulative as I said, a very paranoid view of the world based on a zero-sum mindset, that whereas we believe you enter into a negotiation,
we think win-win.
Right. And there, you know, the old joke about the Russians, I'm sure came up during your experience with the Soviets, is what's mine is mine, what's yours is negotiable. And I think that kind of encapsulates very briefly that the mindset that is driven into those agents.
Did you watch the press conference of Putin and Trump?
I was only able to catch kind of the after party and some of what passes for analysis, but I was not able to watch it in real time.
His comment about the indictments that Mueller did is that he finally kind of got to the point of, you know, what did Mueller's team come here and investigate it from here and let's do this together. Is when he says, well, I don't know anything about this, was that a big fib by any chance?
Well, let's just say, if he was on Santa's lap, he would probably not get his stocking filled all the way up to the stitching But I don't know what we would expect him to say otherwise. I mean, unless, again, as you know, over history, the only time a state will admit to something as if they can gain something out of it. So if there was somebody used the analogy, the Bridge of Spies, that we don't have an extradition treaty with Russia. In fact, it's in their constitution that they will not turn their citizens over to a foreign government. So unless we were able to trade them off and then they were, okay, they'll make a certain admission that these are people.
You give us Conversino, we'll give you...
Well, I don't know that I'm worth 12 Russians. I want them to think that. For him to make an admission at this stage, it's a double game. Again, I think I don't like to cartoonize the man. I think it gets us nowhere. I hear he's a thug or he's a gangster or whatever. I don't think that really... We have to deal with him as he is.
Right.
And yes, he is a nationalist. He is a hard-edged realist. But having said that, I think in this case, for the so-called meddling, and we can talk about that more at length, because I think part of what they're doing is using our First Amendment and using our open society. So how do you deal with that? But some of these other things that they've done, the poisonings or other activities, even their involvement in Ukraine, I do liken it to the mob boss who wants everyone to know that he's the guy that ordered the hit that left the body in the trunk, but not leave so much evidence that the DA can get him on it.
Right.
But the people he wants to know will know it.
And let's do the poisoning type situation. I notice how the media keeps saying, you know, UK citizens, they leave out that they were a double agent, which is a very important factor in former KGB mole that was there. Were you surprised that that happened?
I was, because they took it, even after Litvinenko, the former FSB officer that died through poisoning from a radioactive substance, polonium. Because in this case, it's one of those unspoken rules of great power statecraft that we have double agents that lived out their lives in the Soviet Union. It's once the trade has been made, once the deal is done, you just move on. And so to come after this guy, I found rather surprising. Litvinenko didn't surprise me so much as, he was a defector. He was making claims about... that the Russian government was behind these apartment bombings to justify their second invasion of Chechnya. But for this guy, I think I saw him as a done deal, and past protocol, if you will, was to just move beyond that.
I got so enthralled with our conversation that I missed the break here. News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back right after this.
I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When you don't believe a word I say.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Swamp star Twinkle Cavanaugh is lying about conservative outsider Will Ainsworth because Twinkle is the one who didn't support Trump. The truth? Ainsworth proudly supports Trump and campaigned for him against crooked Hillary, calling Trump, quote, the only choice for true conservatives. Here's Will Ainsworth 2 years ago on Trump.
Any Republican official who votes for a candidate other than Trump might as well wear a Hillary Clinton, I'm with her button to their polling place. 8 years of Obama have allowed socialism to take root in the United States. The milquetoast Republican officials who renounce Trump should put the needs of the nation ahead of their childish tantrums. Every Republican should join me in supporting Trump.
If lobbyist, career politician, bureaucrat Twinkle Cavanaugh will lie about Trump, what won't she lie about? Will Ainsworth, the pro-Trump conservative outsider Alabama needs.
Paid for by friends of Will Ainsworth, 7520 Browns Valley Road, Gunnersville, Alabama, 35976.
Student loans, credit card payments, payday loans. I felt trapped by all the money I owed. Then I heard about debt consolidation from ASE Credit Union. It was such a relief to have someone help me figure it all out. Whether it's a lower interest loan or a zero interest credit card, ASE can help you get out of debt faster and lower your monthly payments. Say yes to ASE. They're your goals. ASE is your credit union. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal opportunity lender.
Will Dismuke's candidate for House District 88 has become mighty popular in Montgomery. The last 3 weeks, big money special interest groups are showering him with campaign cash. Dismuke's has received more than $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Let me repeat that. $44,000 in special interest PAC contributions in just 22 days. Autauga and Elmore County voters are very concerned. Who will Dismuke's represent? The hardworking, tax-paying citizens of District 88 or Montgomery's big money special interest? These special interest groups' top priority is an immediate 6 cents per gallon gas tax increase, with an additional 18 cents per gallon gas tax increase over the next 4 years. It's time for Will Dismukes to answer the question. What did he promise the Montgomery swamp dwellers in return for all that campaign cash? On July 17th, the voters will have a clear choice to vote against another political game player beholden to Montgomery special interest groups who are committed to raising our taxes.
Paid for by Al Booth for Alabama House, 512 Atumka Street, Prattville, Alabama.
Hard work, humility, integrity. All values I learned from growing up on a small family farm in West Alabama. I'm Judge Christy Edwards, and I want to put those values and my experience to work for you on the Court of Civil Appeals. I've practiced in the areas of family law, commercial and civil litigation, been an attorney for this court, and a tax court judge for almost a decade. I'm Christy Edwards. I believe judges should uphold the laws as they are written and appreciate the importance of ruling clearly and consistently so that the people and the businesses understand their rights and obligations. It's what I strive to do every day in cases involving some of the most complex laws on the books. I'm Christy Edwards. I'm a wife, a mother, a judge, and a conservative, and I'm asking for your vote in the Republican runoff on July 17th. The only thing I'm promising you is to be fair and to work hard for the people of this state.
Paid for by committee to elect Christy Edwards to Alabama Court of Civil Appeals, P.O. Box 4211, Montgomery, Alabama, 36103.
Get your bath redone with Acrylic One. So beautiful and secure.
Do you want to redo your bath to a safer, easier to clean, and yet affordable option? Call Mark and Phillip with Acrylic One Bath for a free estimate. 361-7139. That's 361-7139.
Get your bath redone with Acrylic One. So beautiful and secure. Acrylic One Bath.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Capital City Ace Hardware. When it comes to hardware for your home, Ace is the place. 3215 Taylor Road, next to Applebee's.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a very humid day on the way. Sunshine limited today, and it looks like scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms developing, locally heavy rainfall amounts, high temperature around 90, the heat index near or above 100. The storms will fade out in the overnight hours tonight. Low temperature falls to the mid-70s. Tomorrow, look for widespread showers and storms, especially by the afternoon and evening. High in the lower 90s on Election Day. Wednesday's high also right around 92, with still a generous supply of showers and storms here and there. But I think by Thursday and Friday, the storms start to thin out in number. Not as many storms around. High temperatures edge back to the middle 90s. Our weather app has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts wherever you go. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you.
Our go-to song when we're talking Russian.
I've traveled the world.
272-9228, if you have a comment, question, or viewpoint. Dr. Mark Conversino in the house. Russia expert.
From Russia with love.
Dr. Conversino, is the were you kind of surprised that they had the meeting, the meeting, likes to call it summit, the White House corrects them and says meeting. Were you surprised that this meeting came off?
Came off or was held? That was held. I was surprised by the timing of it. I mean, obviously, President Trump has made no secret of the fact that he wanted to meet with Vladimir Putin in some format beyond just these small side table talks at other venues. So in principle, it didn't surprise me. I was a little bit surprised by the timing coming on the heels of a NATO summit and then a side stop in the UK. But I'm sure they're, once getting to Europe, it's far easier in meeting on neutral territory in Helsinki than to set up a whole state visit and all that, a way to crack the door open. But a few months ago, I don't think this was really on anybody's radar.
It really wasn't. He brought it up in kind of he made a point that he wanted to do, and then all of a sudden things were rolling. I noticed when I watched Trump, when he says something, I want to do something, he's already really gotten the ball rolling is what seems to happen. That way they happen real fast. How about the two-hour bilateral meeting with only an interpreter in the room? The way you judge Vladimir Putin, everybody, the liberal side, progressive side of the media, to go, he's at a disadvantage because this is what Putin does. He's an expert KGB. I know Donald Trump thinks he's doing a business deal. Do you think that Putin had an advantage in that?
You know, it's hard to say. Obviously not being
there.
I mean,
you two being Facebook friends, I would think.
I'll message him later. You know, I do have a security clearance, but I'm not sure if I will after today. But I think in that sense, Putin's objectives were, in one sense, just to have this meeting, to try, see it either as an icebreaker, but having the meeting is on the heels of the World Cup. One more, even if it's a small step, trying to get Russia back out of this corner that it's gotten itself into over the last few years. Beyond that,
that's built on Ukraine and Syria?
Ukraine, Syria, the poisonings that we've talked about, the meddling, however they meddled in the 2016 elections, those kinds of things. So having said that, I guess we'll wait and see on the readouts in terms of what was said, what may or may not have been agreed to in principle. I'm assuming now, and you would have more insight into how this actually works, that the real working level stuff, any follow-on talks, whether it goes into arms control and extending the arms limitations treaties, anything. They made reference in, at least in the text of the press conference, to Syria,
right,
what's going on with Syria, or even Ukraine. So for me to be able to say who is in an advantage or not is just something I'm not willing to put any money on right now.
Because in reading the art of the deal, I mean, Donald Trump, he walks into a meeting with a mission. Mm-hmm. And I think Vladimir Putin does also.
Right.
And I think they both kind of accomplished their missions because they found out what they wanted, they had in common. Let me go to another question. Were you surprised to see Vladimir Putin meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu in that first step happening before this meeting?
Again, not surprised that they met. Netanyahu has met with Putin several times over the last few years, as have other Western leaders, Japan's prime minister.
But if you listen to the media, I mean, you go, you don't meet with a thug,
right,
and then everybody is meeting with the thug.
That's
but they
right.
don't criticize them.
Well, and what's interesting here is this notion that grew out of the previous administration that we have to talk to our enemies, that it's not good to just isolate countries and cut them out. I will say, backing up for just a minute, if I could, I think we run a risk, not you and I, but I think people in the West, certainly in our media and political culture, run a risk of endowing Vladimir Putin with superhuman-like qualities.
Right.
Because that...
That's because he takes his shirt off too much.
Well, and the older he gets... Well, I'll just leave it at that. But I think overall, the impression he is trying to create on the world stage, and certainly in front of his people, is he is the inevitable man. He is the literal strong man. Mm-hmm. And so when we run around looking under our beds for Vladimir Putin, or that whatever has happened is all the result of some sinister scheme that Vladimir Putin cooked up over the weekend, we are actually playing into that narrative. So when the two of them are in a room together again, as I said earlier, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. As far as him meeting with Netanyahu, he sees Israel as sharing some common interests. They both have an interest in keeping Syria from exploding or imploding. Actually, Russia does gain some technology from Israel.
I was a little surprised at that, particularly, and what he's talking about is their computer data delivery systems and software.
Right. And again, among Putin's other objectives in getting into Syria, above and beyond propping up Assad, was to make Russia, the successor of the former Soviet Union, a power player in the region again. And whereas we always had the advantage, certainly after Sadat threw the Soviets out of Egypt and the Soviet position began to erode, many Arab leaders realized if they were going to get anywhere vis-a-vis Israel, they had to deal with the United States, because the United States and Israel were allies and we were their superpower patron. I think my opinion is that in Tel Aviv, they realize if Iran is a threat and Moscow holds, at least has a hand on Iran's leash, that they also need to deal with Russia and to provide themselves, if anything, with some maneuvering space.
What they're alluding to in Syria is that for Russia to use its influence to get Iran out of it, which would make Israel happy, because they're launching these drones and attacks right into Israel, and if they were back in Iran, then they wouldn't be able to get there.
Right.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, again, we'll see. There's been some speculation that this summit might lead to some sort of declaration calling for all foreign troops to leave Syria, which would include the forces that we have in eastern Syria dealing with the remnants of the ISIS state, but also Russia, Iran, and any of the other cats and dogs that are in there. Now, what happens after that is just about anybody's
guess. Yeah, the collapse of Syria.
Exactly.
Were you surprised that we had some Russian mercenaries? They kind of surrounded a artillery tank battalion, and then they just cut loose on them, and I think right killed 1,000 or something right when they finally did the body count. That didn't get very much coverage.
It didn't, neither here nor in Russia, for the obvious reasons. Part of Russia's denial, these are not uniformed Russian military. They're with the Wagner group, who have also had cameo appearances in Ukraine and Crimea. And to read their stories...
Our little green men department.
That's right. To read their stories, what they have let out, they believe this would be kind of an easy victory, that they could intimidate the United States and its allies, and to put it bluntly, they were sorely disappointed when we opened up on them and there was no aid forthcoming from their side.
Yeah, this is what we call graveyard dead. Newstalk 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Russia with love. Fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm Judge Michelle Thomason, and I'm running for the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. Did you know that 75 to 80% of civil appeals are family court cases permanently affecting the lives of children and families of Alabama? And I've ruled on over 13,000 of these cases. My opponent, she has never ruled on even one. July 17th, vote for the judge with a heart for families and children. Vote Michelle Manley Thomason, second on the ballot, but first in experience.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Judge Michelle Manley Thomason, P.O. Box 221, Fairhope, Alabama 36533.
The President of the United States!
Just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
When President Trump promised tax cuts, Twinkle Kavanaugh promised that those savings would go back into the pockets of hardworking Alabamians. And both Trump and Twinkle lived up to their promises. Just weeks ago, Twinkle Kavanaugh, as head of the Public Service Commission, led the effort to return $337 million of the Trump tax cuts to electricity customers in Alabama. That's more than $300 million Twinkle Kavanaugh ordered the big utilities to return to hardworking Alabamians. And under Twinkle, the price of natural gas for our homes hit its lowest mark in a decade, putting money back in the pockets of Alabama families, keeping her promise to turn Christian values into conservative government. Twinkle Kavanaugh for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Twinkle for Alabama, Post Office Box 240367, Montgomery, Alabama 36124.
I'm lifelong Republican Rich Anderson, a candidate for our Court of Criminal Appeals. There's only one candidate in the runoff who's fought for crime victims in every appellate court. That's Rich Anderson. There's only one candidate who has any experience in appellate court. That's Rich Anderson. I'm Rich Anderson. I've kept dozens of murderers off our streets, and I've got the experience to get justice done in our Court of Criminal Appeals. Choose the right experience on July 17th. Choose Rich Anderson. Paid for by Anderson for Alabama, P.O. Box 2337, Montgomery, Alabama 36102.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Red Tide. Red Tide, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Dr. Mark Comerceno.
Good morning, gentlemen. This whole situation is so confusing because the United States and Russia cooperate a tremendous amount on the space program. With Vladimir Putin's investment in the Cosmodrome, he's launching most of the satellites for the United States and Russia. Is that not true, sir?
We do rely on them heavily, no longer exclusively because of other ventures, but we do rely on them very heavily for heavy lift into space, yes.
Yes. This is confusing. And all the people in Congress know that we rely on them for heavy lifting in space, so...
But we're talking one point here is that is becoming less and less as Elon Musk and others start really doing their advanced rocket engineering.
I understand. But the status is of now, and it has been for a few years, Russia has launched done a tremendous amount of heavy lifting for the United States. And
Would you have a lot of tremendous?
Well, I mean, I'm asking,
I would agree with Dan. Over the last few years, we have several years ago. They were the only
game in town.
Exactly, and my groups and I have actually met with U.S. astronauts training in their facility. They call it Star City, just outside Moscow, which is kind of a mind blowing experience. But because
the Sputnik was launched,
the atrophy of our own program. Yes, we did come to rely on them almost exclusively, but now we're moving in the right direction, I think, though that relationship still exists with them to some degree.
Yes, so we have very good relations with Russia to be able for them to train our astronauts. And so I find so much of this to be totally hypocritical, especially coming from the Democrats and all this kind of stuff. Because they know the level of cooperation we have with Russia. They're all in Congress. They're well aware of all of this, aren't they?
Well, I would remind people that apropos of all that we're talking about here is even during the Cold War, when we were on hair-trigger nuclear alert relative to the Soviet Union, and there were areas in which we were cooperating, trade relations, those kinds of things that great powers do all the time. And so, yes, I think, in my opinion, our political and our media culture, I used the term earlier, cartoonized stuff. They trivialize it. We seem to think purely in black and white, and unable to see any sort of nuances, because in our political culture, that's what gets attention, that's what gets sound bites, that's what gets page hits.
And very quickly, can I ask you what you think the what are the possibilities of U.S.-Russia conflict, higher, lower, non-existent? What is your assessment of the future as far as those kind of things, barring a very unexpected situation?
Are you talking about battle, war-wise?
Yes, I mean conflict between the two countries. Okay. I see it as zero.
I would actually put it in the low category, particularly in areas like the Baltic states, where they continue to violate the airspace of our allies, engage in both naval and air maneuvers that are outside the norm, aircraft flying through airspace with their transponders set turned off. That sort of thing can lead to, as we've seen across history, can lead to a chain of events that gets us into something. As far as a bolt out of the blue conflict with the Russians, I don't think that's likely. I think what we're going to see is more, again, what we saw during the Cold War, the political maneuvering, the undermining of alliances, the kind of saber-rattling exercises. I wouldn't say it's nil. I wouldn't say we need to be stocking up on bottled water and beef jerky and ammo. But I do think there is always kind of a low-grade possibility that things could spiral out of anybody's control when there's this level
of tension. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yeah,
thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Let's talk about the deconfliction line that happened. So we're about to fire Tomahawk missiles into Syria, and they talked on the deconfliction line and kind of explain to the audience what that is. And is that a universal thing that we have some type of tether with them, or is this just a direct line to Moscow, then they are basically going back to wherever the event's going to happen?
That I'm not sure the architecture, because we work through regional combatant commanders. In this case, it would be Central Command if they're operating out of Iraq. So how the architecture is set up, who such warnings or notifications would go to, I'm not really sure. I'm of the mindset.
But the main thing is there is a deconfliction line.
There
that's
is.
Outstanding.
There is. And the reason for that goes back to what we were just talking about. And a lot of it grew out of when the Turks shot down a Russian aircraft. I think all the parties realized, given all the activity, that the chances for an inadvertent act that would then spiral out of control or make any sort of progress impossible, we had to deal with. And so the only way to do that is to set up these communication channels where each side can, without giving them a peek into the classified realm, at least here's what we're doing, here's what's going on. So I'm certain that when the latest missile strike took place, the Russians were given enough notification that we were about to do something. The Russians, in turn, said, "Hey, if any of our people are killed or injured, the rhetoric was exchanged back and forth, the threats, but there again, there is communication, there is some form, if you want to call it cooperation, at some level, because to not have it gives us pretty stark options. We either leave or we be prepared to go to the wall."